Agatha Raisin by M.C. Beaton, dramatized for radio by David Semple, starring Penelope Keith as Agatha. Episode 6, The Moment of Truth.
Come on.
Hello?
Roy, it's me.
Aggie, how are things in the land of cream teas and crochet work?
You remember that hairdresser I was telling you about?
The one who you thought was blackmailing his customers.
I think he's dead.
Oh, Aggie, not another one.
I'm afraid so. Some women have the power to drive men wild. I have a gift for making them drop down dead.
So how did this one end up in that great salon in the sky?
Well, he was about to cut my hair when he suddenly keeled over. I had to phone the ambulance. I mean, I don't know for sure if he's dead, but he won't be running the marathon this year.
Oh, poor Aggie. Is your hair all right?
Do you have no compassion? A man could be dead. My hair isn't really relevant.
Sorry I spoke. So what did you do then?
Well, while the ambulance was on its way, I went and broke into his house.
Well, there's compassion for you. I'm amazed you didn't become a nurse.
Well, I had to find out if he really was a blackmailer. Anyway, I was in his house going through his things when somebody else broke in.
Honestly, you wait all day for a break-in, then two come along at once. Who was it? Jehovah's burglars?
It isn't funny. Whoever it was, and I didn't see them, set fire to the house.
Did you manage to get out in one piece?
Of course. Do I sound fragmented?
You really should take up a less dangerous hobby, like recreational drugs or binge drinking.
And that's what James said. I ran round to his house, I was still shaking, and told him what had happened. He said I should go home, have a shower, and work out why I valued my life so little.
I think the silver-haired Adonis has a point.
Thank you, Roy. Hold on. What happens if the police find out I was in the house? They'll think I committed the arson.
That's a point. They can trace your DNA from the tiniest flake of dandruff.
I do not do dandruff.
Footprints, then.
That's a point. I better burn my shoes.
Aggie, I don't think it's going to make a lot of...
Thanks for the chat. Bye. Oh, ask the way, Chivers. You may be beautiful, but you're not in flannel. Oh, honestly, what is the point of fire lighters if it takes 10 minutes to actually light them? Hold on! I'll just be a minute! Oh, Chivers, are you a cat or an obstacle course?
Mrs. Raisin?
D.C. Wong.
Oh, D.C. Wong, is it? Oh, they call me Bill. Unless you're feeling guilty about something.
What on earth would I feel guilty about?
You tell me. Hello, Chivers. I see you've made yourself comfortable by the fire. Just what you need in a beautiful summer's day.
Is it warm out? I wouldn't know. I think I'm going down with something. That's why I've been at home, resting, all afternoon.
Except for your two-hour appointment with John Orlando.
Oh, that. Yes, I'd forgotten that.
Strange thing to forget, when it was you who called the ambulance after he collapsed.
Well, it was all such a shock. I don't want to think about him. How is he?
He's seriously ill in Merchester Hospital. It looks as if he's... Hold on.
Yes?
You've got a pair of shoes on that fire.
I was running out of coal.
Burning shoes, eh? I guess I'll never get used to your London ways.
Bill, you've never actually been married, have you?
I haven't tied the knot as yet.
Well, when you do, you'll discover women often get dissatisfied with their image very suddenly.
So they set fire to their shoes. I've got a lot to look forward to. Well, it's funny seeing a fire, because just after John Orlando collapsed in Salon, someone set fire to his house.
Really?
Yes, they did. And two women were seen running away from the crime scene.
Two women?
I seem surprised.
No! You just don't think of arsonists going round in pairs.
They weren't together. One ran out the back door and one out the front. And I'm just wondering, did one of these women run all the way back to Carsley and set fire to her shoes?
Me? You surely don't think I'm responsible.
Responsible, no. A bloody-minded yes.
Bill.
What did you do after you phoned the ambulance?
I ran to my car.
And then drove home?
All the way home.
And set fire to your shoes?
Yes.
I hope you're telling the truth, Agatha. Even if it does break the habit of a lifetime.
J. James, can we talk?
Agatha, you may not have noticed the dust sheets and the smell of paint, but I am in the middle of redecorating.
Fine, I'll solve this mystery myself. You can stay here and watch paint dry.
It isn't just painting. I have several jobs pending. I've just drawn up a to-do list.
Oh, a to-do list. I am impressed. Some people have a life, others have a to-do list.
Very well, I'll put my brush down then, shall I?
I know who started the fire.
Oh, yes? Who was it?
A woman.
Could you be a bit more specific? I mean, was it Germaine Greer or was it Her Majesty the Queen?
I think it was one of John's customers. Whoever it was must have seen him collapse in the salon, then went and burnt his house down.
Goodness, if I don't like my haircut, I just refuse to leave a tip.
My theory is John was blackmailing a customer, but she managed to poison him, possibly put something nasty in the vitamin pills he kept by his chair. And when the poison took effect, she ran off to burn his house down and get rid of any dirt he may have had on her.
So we're looking for a woman with wet hair and a smell of petrol.
I'm going to see John at Merchester General Hospital. Are you coming?
Well, I thought you said he was seriously ill.
He'll have to come out of his coma eventually.
Oh, good. One pip on the life support machine for yes, two pips for no.
This will be the place. High dependency unit.
Agatha, how are we going to get into him? I mean, the only connection is he's your hairdresser and he's in no condition to give a shampoo and set.
I don't know. Oh, hang on. Why don't you steal a white coat and pretend to be a consultant? I'm sure you could pull it off.
Are you insane?
Oh, sorry, it isn't on your to-do list.
Excuse me. Can I help you?
Oh, yes. We wanted to inquire about a patient, Mr. John Orlando.
Are you relative?
I'm his sister, Janet.
Oh, I'm so sorry, we didn't know he had a sister. But surely the police told you.
Told us what?
Would you like to come this way, Mrs.
He's dead, isn't he?
I'm so sorry. We did everything we could for
him. Oh, John! Oh, no! Oh, dear!
Darling, let me hold you. You know, in my arms, sort of thing.
Just take me home. Oh.
Excuse me, we do need to have all your contact details.
Get in the lift.
Terribly sorry. Mustache.
Excuse me.
Sorry, my wife is a bit of state. They were always very close, the two of them, Janet and John.
Quite a lot of women here today. I wonder if they're paying their last respects or checking that he's definitely dead.
Anyone you remember from the salon?
So hard to tell without their curlers in. Now, Bobby, I know. He was John's receptionist, sweeper-upper, and general pain in the...
Hello?
Salon.
Oh, Mrs. Brazen. How are you?
As well as one can be at a funeral.
Hasn't really sunk in yet. We've been rushed off our feet the past few days.
Is the salon still going then?
Oh no, it's all boarded up. I'm working at Eve's over the road.
Oh yes, the £5 salon. John used to call it the sheep dip and shearing station.
That was being kind. The woman who owns it is a slave driver. Oh, I do miss John. Anyway, got to go. There's a lot of my old dears here. I want to persuade them to come to Eve's instead. Ciao for now.
Ciao.
Goodbye. Good Lord, don't look now.
What is it?
You know that feeling you had as a child when you run into the head boy at the tuck shop when you're meant to be doing prep?
We obviously went to very different schools. Oh, I see.
Afternoon, folks.
Hello, Bill.
Well, there is a thing. Seeing you two at Mr. Orlando's funeral...
Well, that's something you'll never understand, the relationship between a woman and her hairdresser.
No, look, I'll never understand why some women burn their shoes. Anyway, why don't I give you a lift home? Just for a change, I'm going to take you two for a ride.
Can I just say, I only came along to keep an eye on Agatha, and I wouldn't dream of interfering in police business.
You little snake.
Can I interrupt your private chinwag and ask what I have to do to keep you two at home? I mean, should I buy you a jigsaw? Would that help?
There's no law against going to funerals.
Or is turning up in intensive care, pretending to be relatives, isn't
it? Oh dear, point taken.
There's one thing that could stop us interfering.
Oh yes? Amaze me.
Why don't you tell us what you know? Then we wouldn't need to snoop.
I admire your cheek. Well, I'll tell you what I know, if you do the same. It'll be in all the papers tomorrow, so this is your hot-off-the-press exclusive.
Hold the front page.
Mr. Orlando died due to ricin poisoning.
Ricin? Isn't that what killed that Bulgarian chap back in the 70s? You know, shot with an umbrella gun.
That's the stuff. It's very popular with terrorists. Anyone can manufacture it if they do a bit of homework.
Mm. And I think I know how the poison got to him.
Yes?
He kept a bottle of vitamin pills by his chair. He used to swallow them while he was working.
Our forensics are looking into it. They also know he was a blackmailer.
I told you, James, I told you.
He had affairs with a couple of women and threatened to tell their husbands unless he got some hush money. It was a very nasty piece of work.
And who inherits his money?
They left every single penny to a cat's hole. He did have a wife, but they had an acrimonious divorce. She didn't even go to the funeral.
So where is the wife?
Well, she lives in London. Didn't even know where her husband was these days.
It must come as a bit of a shock to her, finding out what her husband was really like.
Oh, no, you very soon learn when you've married a bad egg.
Right. Well, I should drop you off here. And I'll be calling round later with a 5,000-piece jigsaw.
Well, Chivers, he may have been a very nasty man, but he did leave all his money to nice little pussycats.
Yes, Chivers, and that makes you our number one suspect.
She's our only suspect at the moment. If only we knew the names of everyone who was in his salon when he collapsed. I wish I'd stolen his appointment book.
Yes, well, you can't commit every crime on the statute books. You have to leave something for the teenagers. And they haven't served an ASBO on you.
Hold on. The killer didn't have to be in John's salon. She could have been over the road at Eve's. She'd have seen the ambulance, realised the poison had worked, and then gone off and burnt his house down.
Agatha, if this mystery is like looking for a needle in a haystack, you've just succeeded in piling on a few more bales.
But at least we can get hold of her appointment book, find out who was in her salon.
It'll be 25 women whom we've never heard of. Then what do we do? See if one of the names is an anagram of murderer?
I think it might be someone we know. Someone who lives in this village.
Don't tell me. Mrs. Bloxby, taking revenge for a rather unpleasant perm.
I think it was someone who was terrified of John, who ran away from him when we bumped into her in a restaurant.
Not Mrs. Wendell.
She seems to have been avoiding me the past few weeks. I wonder why.
Well, she has been a bit busy with her one-woman show, Gilbert and Sullivan's Women. I suspect the one woman refers to the idiot who went to see it.
That wasn't a one-woman show. I thought the whole village was involved.
In the beginning, it was Gilbert and Sullivan with a cast of thousands, but after 6 weeks working with her, it became a one-woman show.
Well, that explains why we haven't seen her. Anyway, I don't suppose she's capable of murder.
The ghosts of Gilbert and Sullivan might beg to differ.
Oh, no!
Sorry, no more jokes.
It's not that. I just remembered I promised to organise the catering for a wretched show. She'll be furious that I forgot.
Yes, and she might be mildly annoyed that you're accusing her of murder.
All right. I'll just let the whole thing drop. Though I'll just find out if she was in the salon.
Well, Chivers, looks as though you're going to be alone again. And as for my to-do list, well, they're just going to have to bury me with it.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Raisin. Oh, and you're that, what's his name?
Yeah, that's right, but you can call me, Mr. What's his name?
Hello, Bobby. Bobby, I don't mean to be rude, but, you don't seem to have many customers.
No, it's quiet today. And tomorrow, and the day after that.
Bobby, will you stop getting on your mobile and get that floor clean? Oh, I didn't realise we had customers.
Sorry, we're not actually customers as such. We just wanted to make an inquiry.
Oh, yes?
Well, a friend of ours had the most wonderful haircut. It takes years off her. But she's refusing to say where she had it done, and I'm desperate to find out.
What has that got to do with me?
Oh, she could have had it done here.
Oh, yes. I suppose so.
I've got a photograph of it here from a recent production of the Mikado. Of course, she doesn't usually have the kimono on or the knitting needles in her hair.
Let's have a look. Gwendolyn Wendell has them rolling in the aisles. No, she doesn't ring any bells.
She would have had it done on Saturday, 1st of July.
Oh, well, of course, I wasn't here then. The shop opened in June, but I only moved in last week. If you like, I'll check my appointment book.
Oh, thank you.
Has there ever been a worse form of musical torture than the panpipes? I half a mind to phone Amnesty International.
Perhaps that explains the absence of customers.
Yes, coming here would be like sitting in a lift being tormented with curling tongs.
Yes, you're right. She came in here on 1st of July at 2:30. Thought that helped.
Thank you. Now that is very, very interesting.
Coming! Lacey, Mrs. Raisin. Come in and put your feet up on my Algerian poop.
Well, thank you.
Mrs. Wendell, can I just say I am so sorry I forgot your savouries. As soon as I got to Tidlington Village Hall, I had a sinking feeling.
The absence of sausage rolls was a sad loss in an otherwise exquisite theatrical experience. Did you at least enjoy the concert?
Oh, yes. Oh,
yes, it was a musical extravaganza unlike any other.
Where did you sit?
Somewhere near the back.
And which bits did you like the most?
Oh, the Gilbert and Sullivan bits.
It was all Gilbert and Sullivan. The name of the show was Gwendolyn Wendell Sings Gilbert and Sullivan.
Well, then I enjoyed all of it.
You're too kind.
Mrs. Wendell, apart from the concert, we really haven't seen you around recently, which is strange in a small village.
Well, there is a reason I've been staying indoors, but I don't see why I should tell you.
We're extremely keen to find out.
Oh, well, then, I've been having some rather unpleasant side effects from my hormone replacement therapy, if you really want to know.
Actually, perhaps we didn't.
Oh, I read about that. Apparently a lot of women get hair on their chin.
There's no need to draw attention to it.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean you. I just meant
that... Mrs. Wendell, we were rather surprised you didn't make it to John Orlando's funeral.
Well, why should I? The man gave me one bad haircut a year ago. I don't think I owe him a wreath.
No, of course. You go to the place over the road.
What?
Eves, that's where you have it done.
No, I don't. I cut my own hair. I've never heard of Eves.
That's strange, because you went there on Saturday the 1st of July. You sat facing the street, and at 3 o'clock you saw an ambulance arrive, and John Orlando was carried into it. So this was your golden opportunity to destroy every bit of dirt he had on you. So you ran from the salon, and you set fire to his house.
Mrs. Raisin, I've said it before, but you really should write crime fiction. Though it's unfortunate you share your name with the greatest writer who ever lived, and a type of dried fruit.
Oh, for God's sake, stop pretending. I was there. I saw you do it.
Mrs. Raisin, I have my reasons for hating John Orlando, but I don't think you can accuse me of his murder. On the 1st of July, I was, in fact, giving my all at Tidlington Village Hall in the Gilbert and Sullivan show, and you were supposed to be in the audience.
Oh, I think when we said we were in the audience, what we really meant to say was, we weren't.
I guessed as much. Now, will you leave, please? I have a souffle in my aga in imminent danger of deflation.
She knows more than she's saying, but for some reason she won't let us in.
Indeed, not by the hair on her chinny-chin-chin.
Look, I didn't mean to draw attention to it. Anyway, she'll thank me for it one day.
Yeah, she'll probably send you a card. It's oh so nice to know you care by pointing out my facial hair.
Well, we know it wasn't the bearded lady.
So we're right back to square one.
Oh, no, we're not. I want to know why Eve, if that's her real name, lied to us. She claimed Mrs. Wendell was a customer.
It doesn't take much working out. We told her that our friend had a wonderful haircut, and we wanted to know who did it. She naturally decides she'll take the credit in the hope of getting more business.
Or there's another possibility. She had something to do with John's death, and she guessed that's what we were investigating, so she's only too happy to send us up a blind alley.
But she wasn't even in the salon that day.
Of course she was. Nobody sets up a business, then waits 6 weeks to get involved. She was lurking behind the smoked glass windows, waiting for the right moment.
Well, look, if you do have this theory, I really feel you should go through the proper channels.
Proper channels? Me?
Bill Wong said any information should go straight to him.
Oh, sod Bill. We haven't even had a whiff of that jigsaw.
Agatha, you are not to go rushing in.
Rushing in?
Yes, as in fools rush in.
Look, Bill knows my instincts are razor sharp. That's why he always wants to know my latest theory.
No, Agatha, that isn't the reason.
What?
He listens to you because he's obliged to, because he's a public servant. If someone phones up to say they know the killer because they saw it in a dream, the police still have to put it in the logbook.
I get the feeling I'm on my own on this one.
You're not on your own. I'm coming with you. To stop you making a blithering idiot of yourself.
Well, I don't want you to. If there's two of us, we're going to intimidate her. I'm going in alone.
All right, then. I'll go to the police station and tell Bill Wong.
James, when did you go from being the naughty boy in the tuck shop to the boring head prefect?
I think it was when I grew up.
All right. Well,
I'll go to the salon, and you can listen in by mobile phone. I'll keep the line open, and you can wait round the corner on the high street.
But what if I bump into Bill Wong?
You can say, "Hello, Bill. Agatha's having a haircut."
Oh, hello, Mrs. Raven. We were just about to shut up shop.
Oh, dear. There's no way that Eve could just squeeze me in, is there?
I don't see why not. It'll stop the scissors from going rusty.
Evie, we've got a customer.
Thanks.
Your husband not with you?
Oh, no. James isn't my husband.
Is he not?
No. People often think that because we argue so much. But no, we're just good friends.
Oh, I thought he seemed a bit old for you. I imagine you'd go for someone with a bit more oomph.
I'll just go and see where she's got to.
James, if you heard that, I'm so, so sorry.
Don't mention it.
It's all right, Bobby. You can go now.
Thanks. I'll see you tomorrow.
What? Oh, yes, of course you will.
Bye, Mrs. Raven. Bye.
I'll just lock up, in case we get any more customers. Can I take your jacket, Mrs. Raven?
Oh, thank you.
Well, what can I do you for?
Just a wash and blow dry.
If you'd like to come this way, please. Have a seat.
Thank you. So, how's business?
Not bad. Takes a little while to establish yourself.
Oh, I know. I was with Mr. Orlando for 3 years. He was an absolute wizard with hair.
Well, you know, I'm not so sure he was the wizard that everyone says he was. If you ask me, your current hairstyle has absolutely no shape to it. Now, if you'd just like to tip your head back. Is that too hot for you?
No, that's lovely.
Oh, good. I want everything to be just perfect. Say, Mr. Orlando used to do it. Track conditioner?
Yes, please.
Shampoo I'm using is Indian watercress. All our products are available to buy at the end of your appointment. I'm so sorry.
That's quite all right.
You don't have any cats, do you?
Just the one.
Oh, just I'm allergic.
Really?
Afraid so.
Well, it must have been very galling when your husband left all his money to a cat's home.
What?
I just want to know the truth about John. I won't tell the police, I won't tell anybody, but I need to know for my own peace of mind, and then you can move on, as I suspect you're already planning to do.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, for God's sake. I saw you do it. I saw you swapping the vitamin pills. I saw you set fire to his house. I know who you are. You're Mrs. Orlando, his ex-wife.
Well, that just shows how little you know. His real name wasn't Orlando. It was Morecambe.
John Morecambe?
Doesn't quite have the same je ne sais quoi. He always did have delusions of adequacy. He said he was the world's greatest hairdresser, and I wasn't worthy to wash his towel.
He did have a bit of an arrogant streak.
Wasn't just the affairs and the abuse. He said that I was a terrible hairdresser. When we set up rival salons in Worcester. But he poisoned people's minds against me. He drove all my customers away. Well, which of us is the successful hairdresser now?
Thank you. And I promise your secret is safe. It'll go no further than this room.
Oh, no. You're not trying that one. You're not getting out of here.
James! James!
Shout all you like. The windows are tough and glass.
James, help me!
Go away, we're closed!
James! James, oh, for God's sake! James! Get off! No!
Once I'm arrested, I'm arresting you on one charge of murder and one of attempted murder.
James, what took you so long?
I had to go and get Bill. I couldn't hear a word of your conversation.
What?
You know when she hung up your jacket?
Yes.
Your mobile phone was in it. For 10 minutes, it's been hanging on a hook underneath a speaker. All I could hear was the flaming pan pipes.
Bill!
Yes, Chivers, I have just been attacked by a psychopath, but don't worry, you'll get your tea as soon as I've stopped shaking.
Hello, Chivers. You'll be pleased to know that you're no longer a suspect. You only kill evil mice and horrible hairy sparrows.
Well, Bill Wong was furious with me. He wants me to come to the police station as soon as I'm cleaned up, and he says if I interfere in police business again, he'll have me arrested.
I'm not surprised, Agatha. They were probably on to her anyway.
Yes, and they would have gone to arrest her the day after she left the country.
Agatha, has it ever occurred to you that you're too old for this sort of lark?
Oh, yes. Too old and nowhere near enough oomph.
You've still got shampoo in your hair.
Fine. I'll go and wash it out.
Chivers, I have no idea what you have for dinner. Probably the finest smoked salmon, knowing Agatha. But you'll just have to wait till she's washed her hair. I expect you're happy to have her back in one piece. God knows it would kill me if anything happened to her.
Oh!
Agatha! Agatha!
Jane!
What's happened to your hair?
What does it look like? It's all fallen out. That wasn't shampoo she used. It was a depilatory.
Poor thing, you poor, poor thing.
Oh, hold me, Jane.
Agatha, perhaps it should be a warning to you not to get involved in other...
I said hold me, not scold me.
Well, someone has to scold you, since you seem incapable of keeping away from danger.
Oh, for God's sake, why don't you go home and finish your to-do list?
Actually, I've already finished my to-do list. There's only one thing I want to do, only I have to ask your permission first.
James, what are you doing on the floor? Have you lost something?
Yes, Agatha. I lost it quite some time ago.
Hello?
Roy, it's me.
Aggie. Well, what's new in the world of clotted cream and cowpats?
James has just asked me to marry him.
What? And was he definitely sober this time?
Of course he was sober.
And did you get it in writing?
Some things you don't need in writing. Everyone's so happy. Mrs. Bloxby says it's the best thing to happen for years. Bill Wong says he just hopes James can keep me out of mischief.
Aggie, I hate to say it, but you don't sound very cheerful.
I know. You see, there's just one little problem.
In Agatha Raisin, Penelope Keith starred as Agatha, and Malcolm Sinclair was James. D.C. Wong was played by Stephen Hogan, and Mrs. Wendell by Tina Gray, with James Holmes as Roy, Faye Rustling as Eve, and Matthew Carter as Bobby. Agatha Raisin was dramatised by David Semple from the novel by M.C. Beaton, and the producer was Carol Smith.